Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Tending to your cardiovascular health requires much more than simply lowering your cholesterol. Maintaining heart health requires a combination of diet and lifestyle choices, along with a smart regimen of supplementation. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Heart Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to reduce your heart risk. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com for details. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to DearHoffmanStore.com. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're with Dr. James LaValle. He's a registered pharmacist and a certified clinical nutritionist and a nationally recognized expert on a variety of subjects related to nutrition. He coaches many professional teams and sees private clients and consults in the industry. Jim, we were talking about natural strategies for dealing with blood pressure problems. Jim, I noticed they came up, you know, the American College of Cardiology met last week, and so there are a bunch of press releases, and I was really gratified to see one come out suggesting that when we use statins, you know, that a lot of people, you know, they're still all for statins, you know, they're cardiologists, they want to prescribe medication, but they said that they believe that now, in order to make a more accurate decision about whether people really need to be on statins, they should use the EBT scan to determine if patients have coronary calcium. And this is something I've been talking about for a long time, you have as well, as a way of getting a stratifying risk, because if somebody doesn't have any plaque whatsoever, what's the point? You know, they're not, it's like, you know, putting seatbelts on in the car when the car's not moving. You know, no point.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, one of the biggest things that we forget about is that, you know, for every drug that you give, there's more than likely going to be some sort of either nutrient depletion or metabolic consequence to giving it. So, for example, you know, give the fact that people have plaque, they get scanned, they have plaque. Fine, but once you get on a statin, you do increase your risk of becoming diabetic. That's been shown. Neurodegenerative disorders are at an increased risk. That's been shown. And so you're always, whenever you add a drug, you're always weighing the benefits versus the risk. And so it's great that they, you know, kind of took that forward step and said, hey, maybe if there's no plaque, they're at zero plaque, maybe we ought to pat them on the back and say, you know, keep going with your lifestyle, kid. You know, you're doing okay.
The cholesterol's not affecting them. But of interest is that this is a little bit of a lead-in because aged garlic extract actually has been shown to have demonstrable effects on coronary calcium. And you can tell us about, you know, some of those studies with or without statins. I think studies were done where people took the aged garlic extract as an add-on to the statin, so they got even better protection against calcium progression.
Yeah, the thing about taking aged garlic extract, if you're on a statin, I would say run, don't walk. Run to the local health food store or local pharmacy and pick up aged garlic extract, because the studies were very clear that you got about a 76% reduction in plaque formation when you added aged garlic to the regimen.
So it's not an either or. It's not like, okay, I'm already taking a statin, and so I don't need to take that.
And these studies have been duplicated now and triplicated now. Mm-hmm. If you're on a statin, run, because the data is compelling that you're, you will block your bone mineral density loss. So what happens with people is they're leaching calcium from their bone, is the calcium is creating a coronary artery score. And when you take aged garlic extract, you stop bone mineral density loss. So that's one benefit. The second is that the fat that surrounds the heart and the liver, and people that are also, you know, tend to have high lipids in many cases, mm-hmm. It blocks the buildup mm-hmm. of ectopic fat around your organs. That's huge.
And you know what's interesting, Jim, is that with new technology, and I just moved my office. I moved to an office that has a device that can actually measure not just your overall body fat, but can actually localize that fat. And it can look for visceral fat, and it can look for pericardial fat,
which, right,
like around the heart, fat around the heart is particularly dangerous.
Exactly.
So you can actually see that on tests that are now commercially available. It's a very cool way of predicting risk. So it's remarkable that it has that effect. Now, how much should you take, first for blood pressure, and secondly for if you have a plaque score, if you're taking a statin? Is there a set amount of the aged garlic extract,
right,
or is there one formula or another that's preferable?
Well, I mean, I think the baseline, if you're hypertensive, you can use the they have a blood vessel formula, and that's it's a great formula. And you can take 1,200 milligrams a day is the minimum that I tell people they should take.
That would be four capsules, two twice daily.
Of aged garlic extract, get 1,200 milligrams a day. And a lot of times people will go to the store, and Kyolic has several different formulations, and maybe you want to get a couple of them. I people get to a store, they start making their own decisions. The only thing I tell them is make sure whatever you're taking adds up to 1200 a day if you're concerned about mm-hmm. your blood vessels. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, if you have a positive coronary score, and you're hypertensive, and you're someone who's been, is categorized as metabolic syndrome, or you know, someone's pre-hypertensive and pre-diabetic, I say go right to 2400 milligrams a day of aged garlic extract, mm-hmm. and that is the reserve formula.
Oh,
so
okay.
What you'll want to do yeah. is you'll want to use
that's
the 600, reserve formula.
600 per capsule.
Exactly.
Right. So I actually take for prevention, I have a zero calcium score, so I don't need to take four. I take one twice daily, merely for prevention, also for the immune benefits. We've done an entire podcast about that. That's a whole different subject we won't cover today. Lest we sound like one-note Charlies, I mean, obviously we're both super, we're all in on aged garlic extract, the Kyolic brand.
Sure.
But what are some of the other plausible nutrients that people could or should be considering
sure.
if they have high blood pressure?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that people lose sight of is their need for magnesium. Magnesium status is incredibly important. And what I tell people all the time is try to go for at least 500 milligrams of elemental magnesium per day. In studies where they looked at individuals who were overweight, 500 milligrams of elemental magnesium was the kind of the minimum where they could see a change in about 60 different gene expressions as it relates to hypertension and inflammation. So 500 milligrams a day elementally is huge on that. The other one, of course, is vitamin K2. Vitamin K2 is incredibly important in terms of reabsorption of calcium and preventing plaque burden on blood vessels. So K2, vitamin D with K2, of course. You can also think of fish oil, although, depending on what studies you look at, sometimes fish oil looks great, sometimes not so great.
Although the pharmaceutical form of fish oil came up big and will be the basis of a real surge in prescribing of prescription fish oil.
It really did in that last study that just came out. That really performed very well.
Yeah.
And the other one to just keep in mind is I always ask people about their stress levels. And so when you think about stress and what's been shown to be a benefit in hypertension, you can look at theanine, T-H-E-A-N-I-N-E. Theanine, which is an extract from green tea, which definitely has cardiovascular benefit and helps to reduce perceived stress and has been shown to lower blood pressure. So, I always try to get people not to do too many things at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But, when you think of fish oil, vitamin K2, vitamin D, magnesium, aged garlic extract. I mean, obviously, if we're trying to lower cholesterol, red yeast rice is an old standby that's been there for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
In Europe, they use artichoke quite a bit. Artichoke acts as a pretty good, mm-hmm. Cholesterol lowering agent.
Also, lately bergamot, which is a related thing. Yeah,
bergamot and berberine. My gosh, mm-hmm. both of them, right? Mm-hmm. Bergamot really good, especially bergamot if you're trying to reduce fat in the liver. Mm-hmm. And then berberine, both for blood blood sugar as well as an antihypertensive.
Yes, some benefits for blood pressure as well.
Exactly.
Is there any buzz on coenzyme Q10 for blood pressure control?
Well, you know, there's data on CoQ10 for blood pressure control. You got to get up around, I try to get people to about 300 milligrams a day when I'm trying to help control their blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. So that's a plausible nutrient as well. When it comes to, let's coming back to the subject of aged garlic extract, you know, a lot of people with high blood pressure, they may have, or on blood pressure meds, they may have atrial fibrillation, or they may have had a heart attack, so they're on blood thinners, Plavix,
right.
And they're on, various, whether it be Coumadin or whether some of the newer blood pressure, blood thinning medications. Garlic being somewhat thins the blood. Is there any concern about harmful bleeding? Some doctors may tell their patient, oh, don't take garlic because, you know, I've looked it up in the PDR and it says garlic thins the blood, so it's dangerous. Is that been borne out in any way?
For traditional, if you're taking garlic or eating garlic, you do have to be concerned about if you're on blood thinners. If you're taking aged garlic extract, the studies at UCLA showed clearly that it did not affect your INR time. So, it doesn't affect your blood thinning time, and you can take it safely with blood thinning agents.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that's reassuring. And that's been my experience, too. You know, in the hundreds of patients we've treated with it, we've not had any harmful bleeding episodes. What about exercise? You know, and are there certain forms of exercise? Say somebody has high blood pressure, they've had a stroke or, a TIA. Maybe it's not great to be bench pressing, 300 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general, I try to get people on a great walking program. Like, that's the baseline. You know, if you can start to begin to walk, and even for my professional athletes, so, whether I'm dealing with, hockey players or football players, everybody does explosive work. Very few people put in the time to do the work that helps to condition the nervous system. And that's where walking has tremendous value. So there's a great study that came out and showed that, walking performed as well as running in terms of longevity, benefits. That's just published. And for a lot of people, they don't want to run. They don't want to pound. They don't want to put the pressure on their knees and their hips and their ankles. And so just get out there and try to walk 45 minutes. And I'm aggressive about it. I try to get people to try to walk 45 minutes 5 or 6 days a week. The bottom line is, why we're in the situation we're in is, we don't move enough. We eat too much. We eat too often. We eat at the wrong times of day, and then we don't get enough rest. And so if you start to look at those things and get people to, get people to exercise at least moderately, what we know about moderate exercise is it kind of has some really good benefits on quieting the immune system down. In addition to that, it has blood pressure lowering effects. In addition to that, it has, stress reducing effects. So that's the first step. And you don't want to necessarily be grunting and grinding when you've had, a TIA or you may have some sort of cardiac condition. Always talk with your cardiologist or your primary care doc to find out, hey, what is okay for me? But I think it's, you can't go wrong with, walking, modest biking, those types of activities.
I'm a little confused about coffee because in the past we told people with high blood pressure, stay off coffee at all costs because it's just going to make you jittery. It's going to raise your blood pressure, all that caffeine. But some recent studies have suggested that coffee may be protective against heart disease, which really it's not so much the blood pressure. It's whether you're going to get a heart attack. So, what do you say to people about coffee?
I've never been sold that coffee was bad for individuals. I think drinking a pot of coffee a day might be bad for individuals.
Right.
But I think most of the studies that show 1 to 3 cups of coffee a day have been very positive for, reduction in gastrointestinal diseases and cancers, all the way up to improving blood vessel integrity. So there's a lot of antioxidants and polyphenols in coffee that ends up really being very protective.
I think it depends on, people have a certain SNP in their genes.
That's right.
Governs whether they break down coffee rapidly, whether a rapid metabolizer or a slow metabolizer. The slow metabolizers build up high levels of caffeine very quickly. They don't tolerate caffeine
That's right.
as well. I've done some.
And that would be a problem for them, whether they drink tea or yeah. eat a piece of gum, whatever would contain yeah. caffeine. So in that case, it's not really necessarily the coffee as much as it's a caffeine problem.
Or especially energy drinks. And there actually have been some deaths of young athletes. Now, you work with a lot of athletes, but recently, I think that's this recent American College of Cardiology, they actually did a paper on energy drinks and how they're potentially dangerous because
yep.
they actually, you know, you're talking about vascular reactivity, the ability for blood vessels to open and close properly. When you've taken a massive amount of energy drink before a workout, your blood vessels clamp down. You don't get as much circulation to your extremities, and that may be why people get heart attacks and, you know, at the very least, muscle cramps when they exercise.
I could not agree more. I mean, I it's disgusting, you know, when I go into any kind of a, you know, kind of a wellness store where they're selling those kind of, you know, health food stores where they're selling athletic pro products for performance, and they're 300 to 600 milligrams of caffeine, which is, you know, completely going to be restrictive to your circulation and be counterproductive to your performance. But it's common.
Yeah.
I had a guy that came into me that was, and we counted it up. He was taking in excess of 3,000 milligrams of caffeine a day.
Whoa. And, you know, probably not enhancing his performance in any way, shape, or form.
No, he was came in complaining of fatigue.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, the equivalent of, you know, if you use your credit card all the time and never check your balance, you're going to go broke fast.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, any final notes that we have on the Kyolic in terms of any resources? The formula we're talking about, the blood pressure formula, Kyolic Formula 109, it sounds like Love Potion number 9, but it's Kyolic Formula 109. And it has in it, you know, actually, there's one nutrient I want you to cover because natokinase is in that formula. What does that do?
Yeah, natokinase is great for helping the blood to not be sticky. So, you know, what happens is that, you know, as people enter their heightened risk of myocardial infarction, their blood gets stickier and stickier, and it becomes much more, helps them much more at risk. And so natokinase helps to keep your blood from being too sticky.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And that's in that Kyolic Formula 109. It's got natokinase. It's got some theanine. As well as the aged garlic extract. Resources, you can go to a local health food store, find out about it. You know,
Kyolic.com.
Major that's resources, Kyolic.com.
Yeah, oh, I think that's the best.
Wait, did you know there's a free offer as part of this? I'm going to announce it.
Okay. Yeah, so they can go. Yeah, so they can they can go up and they can get it from listening on your radio show, right?
Yeah, it's. I'll give you a number. It's 1-800-421-2998. That's 1-800-421-2998 for a free sample of Kyolic and ask for blood pressure formula. Or you can go to www.kyolic.com for more information. And they have actually, they published, you know, some of the research there. So, you know, I think you can find out more about the details on some of the studies because, you know, congratulations to them, big company, and they've reinvested some of their profits in actually doing the research, which is I wish more companies would do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, over 800 published articles right now on aged garlic extract, so it's incredibly important. Look, I guess for the listeners out there, if you don't know your blood pressure, the one thing we know for sure, blood pressure is the silent killer. Stop at a local pharmacy, stick your arm in the machine, and at least know what your blood pressure is.
Indeed. And the other piece of advice along those lines before we conclude is, you know, how do we check blood pressure? So many, even doctor's offices, especially doctor's offices, get it wrong. You arrive at the doctor's office, you've been fighting traffic, you're worried about being late, they sit you down to get your blood pressure checked. You're nervous, you're excited. They don't even sometimes do it right. You're supposed to relax. You're supposed to have your feet planted on the floor. You're not supposed right. to be, you know, your legs crossed. I mean, there's a certain way that you check it.
That's right.
And then if it's high in the doctor's office, I always say to patients, look, $29.95 or $39.95, get a good you know, home blood pressure cuff. Measure it at home, but don't always measure it, you know, when you're chill, because, you know, maybe that'll miss sometimes. Measure it various times. Measure it times when you're stressed. Maybe you just got a call from your mom or something, you know, or your boss, and measure it then, or you come in from exercise.
And it's good to get it at nighttime so you can find out whether your blood pressure is coming down at night when you should be under less stress or not. So measuring it at different times of the day isn't such a bad thing, too.
But first things first, you know, attempt natural intervention. That's the message. And if your blood pressure remains high, you know, yeah, you got to bite the bullet, because some people can't get it down with even their best efforts. But there's, you know, tens and tens of millions of Americans who need to address their blood pressure, preferably naturally, and some on medication who could do very well if they adopted the lifestyle approaches that we just talked about. So that's
absolutely. I mean, I think it's one of the most important things you can do is look in general, the things we talked about, you know, better sleep, better exercise, get your diet improved, try to maybe time restrict your feeding. It's going to pay off for you in every aspect of your health, and you get that added benefit of your blood vessels being healthier.
I want to conclude, but I keep thinking of things. If you have ask your partner if you snore. And if you snore or gasp at night, you may have sleep apnea, which
Good
is a
point.
Major hidden cause of high blood pressure. I've actually been stumped by some patients of sky-high blood pressure. They're doing everything right. And, you know, then I turn to the spouse and I say, does he snore? It's like they roll their eyes and they go, oh, does he snore? Oh, my goodness, I had to move to the guest bedroom. Okay, sleep apnea can send your blood pressure through the roof. And if it's addressed
Absolutely.
And corrected, it can solve the problem.
Big problem.
All right. Well, Jim, as usual, a wonderful, lively conversation, and it's always a pleasure, you know, doing a duet with you because you're so knowledgeable on this subject. Thanks very much for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.